You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our conversation in the Set Apart to Serve series, and today it gets real. Yes.
Yep.
What is seminary education like? What is life like when you've completed 2 years of seminary education and ready to go on vicarage and that big day of hearing your vicarage assignment? What's that like? Yeah, we get to like actually dig into the personal lives of a current seminarian and his wife and learn what that feels like in just a moment. Can you feel like the tension?
I feel like this needs to be a Mental Health Monday episode, actually. There's a lot of mental health going on right now.
We could mash it up with that. That's true.
Yeah.
So we're going to have that conversation in just a moment. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Henry and Stacy Ising. Henry is in his second year at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And we should include that Stacy's a part of that as well, because being a spouse of a seminarian is pretty important too and significant. So that's what Stacy's here along to share her perspective as well today. So let's start with vicarage. Well, first of all, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So what is vicarage, Henry?
So vicarage is essentially an internship. It's a year-long experience outside of the seminary walls. You're working in a church, in a congregation, and your job is essentially to follow the pastor around, but to get to know that congregation and just learn a little more through a hands-on experience what life in the congregation is like.
So that's going to be your third year next year, but you are a second-year seminarian still. What has gone into those first 2 years of seminary that are leading up into this vicarage year?
Well, first of all, you've got the languages, which have been really important thus far. Both summers in between the years have been spent studying Greek and Hebrew, and that also continues throughout the academic year. But in addition to that, it's just getting you ready for the different sectors of kind of the life of the pastor. There's practical theology studies, and that's like counseling and weddings and funerals, that sort of thing. There's studies about worship and how to actually be up there in the chancel, conduct yourself well, conduct things reverently and appropriately. And then, of course, too, there's exegetical studies, which just really digging into the scriptures and learning to live in the scriptures, study them deeply, thoroughly, and love them.
What would you say coming into seminary out of all of those things was your strong suit? You really felt this is what I'm comfortable with, and what's going to be the big stretch for me?
To be honest, it took me a while to figure out what the different sectors actually were. Like exegetical, what is that? So I really thought I liked different parts of each of them, and it took me a while to delineate them and put them into their own categories, really, and that's been fun, just diving deep into each of those wells. But I would say the exegetical, the biblical studies were what I was most enthusiastic about, the languages and learning to live in the texts of Scripture.
Did you have any language experience prior to seminary?
So in college, I studied Latin and German, but no Greek and no Hebrew.
So kind of, but not really.
Yeah.
Now, my Greek professor told me repeatedly that if we would have had Latin beforehand, that Greek would be a little bit easier. Did you find that to be true?
I actually found the crossover quite easy.
Well, you didn't actually take the Greek class at seminary.
That's true.
You taught it to yourself the year before, your first year. So that might not have been possible without your Latin.
That's correct.
Yeah. Now, Stacy, what has this been like for you preparing for vicarage and all of the things that go into being married to a seminarian?
Yeah, they're newlyweds.
Newlyweds,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting. I think a lot of sim wives went through the first kind of transition of moving to the seminary. And Henry and I met at the beginning of his first year. I was here in St. Louis already. And so this is kind of our first seminary transition together.
Yeah.
So it was I kept telling people would ask, are you nervous or excited? And I would just say, I don't really feel anything because it's so abstract until the placement day. I didn't know where we were going. And so I just kind of, life is normal. And now we're a little more post-placement day. We're getting into some of the practical stuff. So it's really exciting to prepare for that first seminary transition together.
So how do you feel your classes have prepared you for this next step, Henry? Do you feel that you're ready to jump into Vicarage and... what? Because then
will
after
I
Vicarage,
ever be ready?
Will you ever be ready?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's a fair
because Vicarage serves as third year. Then you come back from Vicarage and you have a chance to study again at the seminary and perhaps focus on something that you really felt you needed to develop more while you were at Vicarage. So, how do you feel? Do you feel prepared for this next step, or are you just totally terrified?
Kind of a both and.
Yeah.
I definitely feel that the classes have really let me sink into this world of life as a church worker and as a future pastor. And I'm excited to get out there and actually be in a congregation. And it's exciting to get outside the seminary walls and just get a flavor of another part of the church that you're unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like I've been prepared very well for that. But at the same time, there's so many unknowns, so many things that are going to be, oh my goodness, I'm actually doing this for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the situation, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, there have been a couple times in classes where, like in the worship class, for instance, you have to get up and just practice saying the words of institution, running through the Lord's Supper, and you're not actually doing it yet, of course, but and that's not something I'll be doing on Vicarage either, but when you get up there, you've heard this done countless times. Mm-hmm. You think you know exactly how it goes, but you get up there and the ground falls out from underneath you and you have no idea what you're doing. And you're like, what comes next? And so I'm sure there will be a lot of those experiences too, where you're just in free fall and have to rely on your training. So
fortunately, you've had field work too. So you have preached a few sermons and led your first Bible class last Sunday. So
yeah.
Little bit of experience.
So lots of firsts. When you came to seminary, and you probably knew a little bit about Vicarage, but what did you anticipate Vicarage placement would be like back at the very beginning of seminary? Like, oh, that seems so far off. That's like 2 years away.
Yeah, it really did seem very far off. But I also had a good idea, or I had a picture in my mind of what a vicar was, because my home congregation had gotten vicars throughout my childhood, and so the vicar was kind of this character in my mind. It was actually one of the vicars at my home congregation that first told me I should consider being a pastor someday. So, like, now I'm going to be stepping into this role of this person who actually had a huge impact on my life and was always kind of a given presence in my childhood was the vicar, so... It's kind of wild.
So are you thankful that person encouraged you to consider seminary?
Most definitely, yeah.
Glad to hear it. Yeah. Glad to hear it. So we're going to get to the Vicarage assignment day. What happens in that day? You've been anticipating it now for 2 years. What all happens in Vicarage assignment and internship placement day for the deaconess students as well?
They kind of round you up all together and... put you in the basement of the chapel and you know what's going to happen because we've all seen this before at this point, but there is this sense of camaraderie and just like you suddenly feel like, oh man, we're all together. We're about to go out and do this thing. And it's just a very camaraderie really is the word for it. You have this great sense of community and pride really in what you're doing and fear and anticipation. But yeah. And then they bring you upstairs and you're sitting through this service and you know, like, what's about to happen and you're suddenly, all these things are hitting you like, I'm going to move soon. And and you have no idea where you're going. So that's fun, too.
How much of the sermon did you hear?
We had a great sermon and it was it was definitely for us who were going out and it was really encouraging and it was actually great. Yeah.
That's good. That's always a question, though, we ask seminarians, like, how much did you actually pay attention to that service, knowing what
sure
was going to happen? Oh, it's hard for me. Yeah. I'm not even going anywhere.
He started singing in the middle of the sermon, so he was doing a lot to keep
our
attention.
That's smart. Mm-hmm. It's a very wise move. Stacey, what is it like for you going into this day, knowing what was going to be happening, but also not knowing what was going to be happening?
I went to work that morning and it was a really busy day. And I remember I left work around noon and got home, and all of a sudden I was feeling nervous and excited, and I hadn't, you know, suddenly it became really real. So I was probably nervous for a total of about 1 hour leading up to the service. But it was also a really rainy day. It was like thunderstorms and dark and ominous. I remember during the sermon there was like a lot of really loud thunder outside. So, but then it was over. It was really exciting.
Now, you're kind of in a unique position. We didn't share episode that Stacey also is on staff here at the LCMS International Center, a part of the LCMS communications team, and a wonderful writer and editor. Yes. You might recognize her voice, too, from the Lutheran Witness podcast. Mm-hmm. You hear her on the Lutheran Witness podcast quite a bit. So while you were there, were you like thinking about the story you would write as well?
I think this is one of the first call days that I actually didn't write the story for reporter on call day. So I was sitting there thinking, oh yeah, I saw our photographer come up and he was taking photos on the side. And I said, hi, Eric. But yeah, it was very, I mean, before I even met Henry, I'd been at several call days. And of course I was sometimes talking to the vicars, but usually the fourth year guys, and running up to them right afterwards and sticking my phone in their face and asking for their impressions. And now I can see from the inside that that was probably kind of a difficult thing to do in that moment. Process all of your thoughts and articulate them. So
it's kind of like draft day.
It is. Oh, man. Totally.
We have more to learn about a vicarage assignment day in just a moment. We're talking with the Isings. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Henry and Stacey Ising. Henry is in second year at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and recently received vicarage assignment. We've been waiting the whole first segment of the program to find out where you're going on vicarage assignment. Where are the Isings? Where have you been placed for vicarage?
We are headed to Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ooh.
It's a little bit of a different climate than St. Louis. Yes. A little bit of a drive from here.
Nice part of the country.
Yeah.
So, and you said you had no idea where you were going when you...
That's correct.
...found out that day. Yeah. So this is a big move. What was it like hearing that news? And what were some of the first things going through your mind?
Well, I actually, you know, they say your assignment and your name, and you're supposed to walk down this line and shake everybody's hand and collect the papers. And I didn't start walking. I was just trying to process everything, and I forgot to start walking. And so I actually, when I finally did walk down the line, I was just like, oh my goodness. And yeah, I was super excited and shocked, and because we had no idea where we were going. And
we didn't give any geographic preference.
Right.
Oh.
So it was, you know, we looked through a list of all 50 states, I think, the day before, just to remember, like, what states there were, so we wouldn't be totally shocked, but, yeah.
So what goes into that? You mentioned not giving geographical preference. What are some of the meetings and the preparation that goes into where you could be placed? Are there any kind of specifications that you're able to talk with the placement director?
Yeah, there's a series of meetings with the whole cohort that's going out on vicarage that start at the beginning of the year, and I think those were once a month or so, and they just go over things like what's going to be expected of you, things to look out for in the parish, and just the logistics of the process. And then kind of in the midst of that, there is a pretty thorough questionnaire that you're asked to fill out. And that's where they get into individual stuff, personal preferences, where you'd like to be put geographically speaking, the kind of worship styles that you're used to, or maybe that you're looking to get more experience with, ministry elements that you'd like to work with, like campus ministry, youth ministry, that sort of thing. And you fill out that questionnaire, and then you're taken in for an interview with the placement director. And you essentially go over that questionnaire, and the goal is to kind of find a place that would be a good fit for you, and they try to keep you happy.
So. Stacey, what was your involvement in this process?
The spouses are all invited to every vicarage meeting, so it was really nice. I got to be there for all of those from before we were married, when we were still engaged. Yeah, I was going to some of them, and
make sure I'm taking notes.
Yeah. and then I don't think I had anything specifically to fill out, but we went through the questionnaire together and thought about our preferences. I was there at the interview, and he also asked me, you know, is there anything that you'll be looking for? What kind of work will you be doing? Questions like that. So yeah, it was very comforting to be involved in the whole process and just know this is exactly what to expect. So
what was it like for you then during the service, finding out where you're going to be moving to this summer?
It was really, I had no idea how I was going to react, because it's just a totally unique thing in life to be completely surprised about where you're going to be moving in a few months. So I think I was surprised and excited. I actually lived in Raleigh. That was my first job out of school, was teaching at a school in Raleigh. So I think we had in our head, just saying no geographical preference, we had imagined like a place, we're just going to be sent to a place that we've like never thought about before. So
completely new.
It was a bit of a twist, but it's been really nice just even looking at apartments, things like that, that we have some familiarity with the area. So
yeah.
Henry, what's it like being, I mean, this involves some vulnerability just to be able to say, I'm willing to go anywhere. What was that like to be able to say that? As an adult, I can go anywhere.
Yeah, I actually think that I'm pretty good at being open to that sort of thing. And I've actually thought before that makes me well suited for pastoral ministry, because there's a lot of that involved. There are a lot of factors that you have very little control over. Mm-hmm. And I actually love it, because it's one of the few jobs left that there's actually that element of adventure where you can kind of, the unknown is before you and you're getting thrown into it. And I think that's rare, and I think it's really cool. So I mean,
you could enlist in the military, is similar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go where the Lord sends you, whether it's in the military or as a vicar, as a pastor.
That's right.
So you're right. There is an element of adventure in that. And that is, I'm sure, very exciting. Also, maybe a little bit frightening.
That's some of it, too.
Yeah.
I'm just learning that there are actually things that you have to navigate. Like after we've learned where we've going, it's just actually you do need to know all of these things, and I hadn't necessarily thought about some of them ahead of time. And
we realized when we were filling out the questionnaire, we kind of thought, well, I guess we are well suited to this because we don't know where we want to go. We don't really have any preference. So, yeah.
So, what are the next steps to prepare for vicarage?
Essentially, it's getting there.
That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Mountains.
Yeah.
I've talked with my supervisor. I think we're going to get along really well, and just getting to know him more and working through some of those logistical matters with him, like finding an apartment, getting there.
Picking a start day.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have say over a bit over when you get to start?
My supervisor was surprisingly flexible. We're starting August 1st, which is, I think, what a lot of guys are doing, actually. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And coordinate with the vicar who's going out, too, depending on when he got there, and make sure not to cross over with him or
ruffle any feathers.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of the little details, a little logistics that we, when we receive a vicar into our congregation as lay people, may not understand that there's a lot more that goes into it than just like, hey, we have a new vicar and they're here today. So, yeah. Stacey, what are some of the details and logistics that you're looking forward to or just looking at over the summer?
Stacey's an expert apartment hunter.
Oh, okay.
I've been obsessively looking at scrolling through apartments since we found out where we're going, which is like how I calm my nerves about anything. It's like, let's just scroll through endless. But I'm very, very blessed. I'm going to be able to continue working remotely. So I actually knew that before. Which was kind of part of the reason, I think, why I wasn't nervous, because I had one thing that was sure about what my next year would look like. But yeah, we're really excited now just to plan out all of those details with when I'm going to shift to remote work. And I think we're going to like 5 weddings this summer.
Oh, goodness.
We're going on a trip. So just how all the timeline is going to work out.
So in preparation for your time at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Raleigh, did I get that right? What to the listeners at Our Savior in Raleigh, what do you want them to know about the Isings before you get there?
Ooh.
Do you have some favorites that they might need to know about before you arrive?
We like to know favorites.
We're pretty easygoing.
Well, we like to be outdoors, but we're not outdoors enough. So we're very excited about what North Carolina has to offer in terms of the beach. And we both really like to read. And, well, you can maybe tell them about what we've found on their website.
Yeah, so there are a lot of book clubs, as far as I can tell, that go on at Our Savior, and we're kind of excited for those.
The pastor leads like a weekly book.
Yeah, the pastor's kind of an intellectual, so I'm going to have to... bone up on a few things.
Henry's talking about his reading list he needs to get through this summer.
But it's exciting.
But we think we're going to fit in well there. We're really excited.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, so hunting for an apartment. Any success?
We found a few leads, but of course it's like way too early to be finding an apartment for August. So
yeah.
I just need to hold my horses.
It's so hard though.
And then, so vicarage is precisely a full year. When you're done with vicarage, then what comes next?
You're back to the seminary for a year to clean up all the things you realized you needed to clean up on vicarage. Mm-hmm. It's just another year of study. There's a little more freedom as far as what you're studying. A greater number of electives are opened up to you. And you can kind of zero in on things that you want to focus on yourself. Right now, the studies are pretty structured, so that'll be different and fun.
So after that year of vicarage and practical experience, you get to come back and you can, if there's something you find that you really want to study more, you have an opportunity to do that in fourth year.
That's right, yep. They say, and this is maybe a little cynical, but they say vicarage is the place to make mistakes and you've got time to clean them up afterwards.
That sounds like wise advice. Yeah. It's an opportunity to practice, and we learn from those mistakes, right? So it's, I think, a valuable experience. How has field work helped prepare you? You have some field education as well, correct? So you had some field experiences here in the St. Louis area. How is that preparing you for vicarage and the next steps?
Field work has prepared me really well, I think, especially in the area of just run the worship service itself. What to do on the altar and how to do it, when to do it. As far as I know, the vicarage congregation that we're going to is pretty similar worship-wise to my fieldwork congregation, and so I think I'll be set up well to conduct things properly. But I'm excited for that, and it's just great to have that kind of familiarity with being up in the chancel and doing what's done up there, and because it's another one of those situations where you get up there and it's a different world and things fall out from under you and you don't know what's going on sometimes, but familiarity is great.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's easy for us in the pews to be like, oh, he's a pastor, he knows exactly what he's doing. Like, you were just born knowing how to conduct a service from the front, but there's a lot of learning and a lot of experience and messing up sometimes and working through that with the congregation. So it's very exciting to have that opportunity.
And the other element too is just really getting to know the congregation, which is something, it's part of the job, and it's a task sometimes, and vicarage, you're going to have to try to do it all in 1 year, and you really want to become familiar with those people, get to know those people, and it's really exciting, and again, that's another thing fieldwork has prepared us well for, because we're right at home in that congregation, and we had to get there, so.
Why is it important to you to become a pastor, to go through this formation, to serve as a pastor in the Office of Holy Ministry?
I just think it's the absolute best job there is. I think it's the greatest thing that I could be doing, just to be able to tell people about the forgiveness of sins that's found in Jesus every day. That's what you're doing. And the life and salvation that Jesus alone offers. And then two, you're with people at the very worst times of their lives, and as well as the very best times. And in both of those extremes and everywhere in between, you are there to deliver Jesus to those people. And that's just a profound gift to be able to do that. And I'm very excited.
Our guest today, Henry and Stacy Ising, preparing for vicarage from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Thank you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.